And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, and Bill Jack also in studio with me from Worldview Academy. Today we want to look at this article from Midwestern Seminary. It caught my eye just a couple days ago. I think it came out the 1st of August. It's by Andrea Burke. It's called The Gospel According to Essential Oils.
Ah, that's just what we need, Kevin.
Yeah, I
to
think
go
so.
Along
yeah.
with the
four Gospels.
The essential oil movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an excellent article. By the way, she's a good writer.
Okay.
So here's how the article begins. I have hesitated to write this for years. My social circles are full of people who use, sell, market, and make a living off of these tiny bottles of plant juice, as they are affectionately called. But as someone I used to know once said, I love you more than I'm afraid of you. So I think what she's saying is, I'm stepping in something. I need to be cautious now, but I love you more than I'm afraid of you.
Well, and
so here
and she
goes.
Needs to put some essential oils on the soles of her feet in special places. On
yes.
the soles of her feet.
As she wanders into this territory.
Yes, as she kind of wanders out into the weeds here.
Yeah, here we go.
She needs to have her plant juice ready in the weeds.
Yep, exactly. But then she says, before you get all up in arms with me, before you roll your eyes and slam your laptop shut in irritation with someone who just doesn't get it or who is overly sensitive about something that God gave us, I'd ask you just to listen. And full disclosure, I am not anti-oils. I have no doubt some of them work. I have a few staples on my shelf that we'll use for cleaning and clean breathing, for good sleep and cozy baths. I cook with a few, I diffuse others. There's no better smell to me than a home filled with the scent of cloves, cinnamon, and lemon in lieu of Lysol. Now, so on and on it goes. It's a pretty good article. She says, I'm not against you, I'm against the golden calf. She said, we have traded the Holy Spirit for bottles of plant juice. We have added to the gospel through smells and scents and promised those we lead that joy is found in something you apply to your skin and not something that happens to your heart. We've said forgiveness is enabled by sandalwood and lavender, and have placed the power of the cross on a back burner after we've diffused some angelica for a bit. Now, maybe she's overstating the case for some people. I mean, my guess is that she's reacting to something she's seen. We live in a sinful world. We all wind up in ditches. I like to say, if you can only see one ditch, you're probably in the other one. And so, yeah, life is full of ditches, and hopefully people are paying attention to these things. Hopefully people are open for warnings, right? Wouldn't it be appropriate for us to be open for some cautionary statements? Bill, have you ever, I don't know, thought wrongly about something? Have you ever made a mistake in your life? Have you?
Yes, but you only know it in hindsight.
Yeah, you do. Right. Hindsight's 2020.
2020,
right?
Yeah.
Hindsight's 2020. Woulda, shoulda, coulda. False gospels, false cures, false antidotes for the sickness in our souls have been around since the dawn of creation. She talks about these bottles of perfumes with the descriptions of their blends as forgiveness. You know, she gives these examples. Forgiveness contains an aroma that supports the ability to forgive yourself and others while letting go of negative emotions. Faith.
Wait. How can you forgive yourself?
I know. We're running right smack into this humanist idea.
Forgive yourself.
Forgiving yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's faith, inspired by Ula essential oil blend, has been especially formulated to help you feel grateful, humble, and fully secure in your place in the world. And so forth. There's humility. Boy, it'd be nice if I could get humility in a bottle. I've been looking for that for a while.
That's the foundation of emotional strength.
I have pride problems.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to get it in a bottle.
You need a vat.
I need to be immersed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to be a total baptism.
Yeah. You can't just
all
be
the way under.
You can't be sprinkled on
not
this
on
one.
This one. Yeah,
no.
I got to be immersed in humility.
And by the way,
that's biblical. By the way, to be immersed in humility.
Yeah.
But here's the problem.
What's the problem?
You're not immersed in plant juice. You got to be immersed in the Holy Spirit of God.
But I would like to welcome our new sponsor to the program, and I'd like to urge our listeners to send in $1,000.
Okay.
And then you and I will send them a handkerchief that has been, you know, blessed with some essential oils, and then they will have prosperity and peace in their families by just carrying this handkerchief that has been infused with essential oils around in their pockets, and then let us carry the $1,000 in our pockets.
That's a new fundraising approach.
It's actually not.
No, it's not.
I mean, what we're talking about here is the same thing that has been around in Christendom for years, and that is the prosperity gospel. Is it not? That if you follow our formula, if you give money, if you do this, then you will have peace and prosperity. And what did Jesus say? In this world, you're going to have peace and prosperity. Mm-hmm. Take heart. No, no, he didn't say that. No, what did he say? I'm reading from the wrong gospel.
He says a servant's not above his master.
Yeah, he says you're going to have troubles. In this world, you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. It's not essential oils that have overcome the world. It's not personal peace and prosperity that you seek. It is his kingdom that you seek. And in fact, you know what's amazing about this? There's a parallel with what we've seen recently in the news. And I'm sure you're going to, when we come back, you're going to talk about what Benny Hinn just did.
Yeah, let's do that in just a moment. Friends, Benny Hinn is backstepping on some of the things that he has done with his health and wealth, positive thinking, teaching over the years. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. A little bit more on essential oils as well, next on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack also with me today. And Bill, as we talk about essential oils, yeah, you sort of step in it because there is so much controversy in the church on things like this. I remember the first time that the question of essential oils and homeopathy became a blow up in our little local church. You know, I had to do a fast draw on Romans 14. That's the first thing, the Christian Liberty chapter, right? You got to go to Romans 14 pretty quick. I mean, you better read it, Romans 14. Mm-hmm. People better step up to the plate and realize that there is a lot of Christian liberty, and there is a very, very important element of love. The greatest of these is love. And if love is not really shared, then we're not going to appreciate our differences too much. Now, there needs to be some measure of liberty here, friends. Romans 14, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. In other words, love of the brethren and unity of the brethren is primary here. So let's not get into these arguments concerning home birth and essential oils and your flat earth theory, wine at the Lord's table, and, you know, KJV only. How many are there? 685 of them?
You've hit the top six or seven, I think.
Well, there are a lot of oxen to gore here.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to gore an ox. There are a lot of oxen to gore.
And if you want to, you'll deplete the herd.
Yeah, you can. So the devil has a heyday with conservative Christians who have identified their 347 preferences. And specific applications, and will fight to the death and water every single plant with their blood when it comes to their preferences.
That's true.
Are you with me here? And the unfortunately, the inability to distinguish between gnats and camels, minors and majors, amongst Christians is just deplorable. It's out of control. Bill, it is out of control. I'm telling you. I've only been in the church for, 55 years? And especially among conservatives, you know, conservatives will break down on just about every other issue. And one of the reasons for this is because this is a theory, but I think it's pretty solid. If you are anti-establishment, in other words, if you're kind of marginalized, which we are, right? A conservative Christian makes up typically what, like 2, 3, 4, 5, 7% of the population. It's going to be in the minority. So if you're a conservative Christian, you believe the Bible, you believe God's law, against the zeitgeist that's pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, or pro-humanist, you know, whatever it is. If you are anti-establishment, then you're going to feel like you're very much marginalized. But you'll get into this anti-establishmentarianism worldview that somehow you're achieving the highest possible level of sanctification and piety and orthodoxy if you reject every single thing advocated by the establishment. So there's a lot of the establishment I don't like, but I still brush my teeth, even though establishment people will brush their teeth too.
Yeah.
Are you with me here? And I think anti-establishmentarianism is another ruse of the devil. It's not the Christian faith. And people need to remember that. Just being anti-establishment doesn't mean you're a Christian. Anti-establishmentarianism just simply says this. Just simply says, I'm against whatever the establishment is saying. That's just another form of demonic autonomy. Morality is not established by taking the opposite side of the establishment. Morality is established by God's law. That's just it. God's law. You've got to go to God's word. You've got to go to God's law. And you can't just say because the establishment is, you know, anti-seatbelts, I'm going to be pro-seatbelt or whatever it is. So this anti-establishmentarianism is a ruse of the devil, and we need to be very careful of it. Now, much of the herbal-based medical approach is unregulated. And actually, I like that. I think, you know, in terms of biblical law requires the government to step in when there is gross negligence going on where the oxes want to push his horn and people have died because of a certain product offering or somebody failed to cover a ditch or what have you. Okay, where there has been the loss of human life, in the case of gross negligence, the government has a duty to step into play. But this idea of creating the highly regulative state, which the socialists have done since roughly the 1920s, this idea that the government has to control every single aspect of food and drug and all the rest is patently unbiblical when it comes to biblical law. So much of the herbal-based medical approach is unregulated, and I like that, but here's the other flip side to this. Honesty is therefore the key. We tend to live in a dishonest world, a fallen world. People lie. Now, I hate to just, you know, reveal this, and I know it's hard for people to receive, but the fact of the matter is, friends, people lie to you in this world. this idea that, you know, there are no snake oil salesmen, that salesmen always tell the truth. Every used car salesperson, every MLM distributor tells the truth. This idea that, you know, everybody is honest out there is a lie of the devil. That itself is a lie. Are you with me? So honesty is key, friends. When it comes to every form of multi-level marketing, we want to insist on honesty. Not just hoopla and empty motivational speaking, but double-blind studies.
We can also deceive ourselves because we want something so sincerely and deeply that we can deceive ourselves into thinking that there is a magic formula out there and that we can reverse the fall by something that is from creation. Well, I got news for you. Creation is fallen. Creation is marred. And we live in a fallen world, and you're not going to create a utopia, a perfect world by a formula.
And truly, Bill, people are looking for their best life now.
Right.
That would make an interesting book, Your Best Life Now. Maybe somebody should write a book like that.
Maybe somebody should write that, right?
But people are looking for their best life now, and I think this is one of the most significant traps that I'm seeing around us. They want health and wealth here, but Bill, this ain't heaven. People are trying to make this heaven, but that's because they don't have an eternal hope. This is a huge mark of modern-day Christian apostasy. Bill, it may be the major mark of modern apostasy. Too many Christian people are in the bondage of the fear of death. Mm-hmm. And I thought Jesus delivered us from the fear of death, didn't he? Doesn't he deliver us from the fear of death?
Yeah.
Doesn't the hope of the gospel, the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ deliver us from the fear of death? And maybe a little bit of an expectation of the resurrection. Shouldn't we have something of an anticipation, an excited anticipation for the resurrection of Jesus instead of this constant attempt to create a utopia here? What was it that Ponce de Leon was trying to find?
That little fountain
of youth.
Of youth.
The fountain of youth, right. Okay. It just came to my mind. So for how many thousands of years have people been looking for the fountain of youth, friends? How many people are still in the bondage of the fear of death, and they want their best life now, and they will do anything they can to get it?
And
friends, that's just the lack of faith. That's no faith. That's the abandonment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's just basically saying, I've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, this whole resurrection bit. I don't believe it, and so I'm going to spend the rest of my life looking for a fountain of youth.
And that's why I brought up the Benny Hinn connection, is because he has long been the poster child for this prosperity gospel, for health and wealth.
Yeah.
You can have it now. You don't need to wait for heaven. You can have all of this now and heaven too. And in other words, and heaven too. But he's come out and he has repudiated his positions on that in the past. And he said, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's really amazing.
It may be true repentance on his part. I've seen some of his YouTubes recently, and it seems to me he's got maybe a sense that he really did make a lot of mistakes and, you know, negatively impacted probably close to a billion people around the globe. With, if you include those in Africa and South America, all the way through North America, the hundreds of millions of people who are seeking that health and wealth, that that fountain of youth, that something was going to happen here and now. And somehow he lost the message of the gospel in the process. It could be he's repenting now. And I'm thankful for that.
And so we need to take a warning from that when we get involved in things that we think are going to be the panacea for our ills or the cure-all for the world's problems. And it can be anything from sending in $1,000 to the televangelist to, you know, making sure that you diffuse the proper oil in your house so that you can have peace and calm in your house and your family. We got to be very cautious about formulas, about man-centered solutions, and we need to return to God's Word and hear what God's Word has to say for us.
And when it comes to healing, friends, I mean, honesty is the key. There's nothing that completely heals. There's nothing that is 100% effective. There needs to be an honesty. I'd say double-blind studies, and, you know, there have been a number of single-blind studies done on these essential oils. My guess is they've done some double-blind studies as well. I think I have seen two or three studies that indicate that a certain kind of essential oil can help with sleeping at night. You know, I've seen that, you know, certain herbs like echinacea, they've done some tests on echinacea, and for something like 37% of people who took echinacea, it was somewhat helpful in dealing with the common cold and so forth and so on. So there are some double-blind studies out there, but when it comes to the helpfulness of some cure or some snake oil or panacea of some sort, you know, I had a statistics professor who taught us in our manufacturing process and design optimization program. This guy would say, it was very helpful, he would say, in God we trust, all else bring data. See, what that means is, you know, I'm not going to stand up and say, okay, this helped my third cousin's husband, and so therefore it's good for everybody for everything. I can't say that. But when I bring data, when I say, okay, I tested 120 people, 37% said that things had improved, but the on the double blind, those who took the water pill, 24% of them said that their headache had improved. So effectively, it had only about a 13% improvement on the water pill. Now we're getting down to some objective data, you see, but it seems to me that a lot of people resist the testing of their products. They resist the testing. They don't want it to be tested. They don't want a double-blind study, or they won't publish the double-blind studies on their products. Just remember, friends, snake oil salesmen have been a dime a dozen for centuries. They just have better brochures and nicer websites today than they used to. This idea that somehow the world has improved and there's nobody lying anymore about their products, that's ridiculous. We still have the same old problem. There's also something of a new age spirituality that's forming another path of apostasy away from God and the true Christian faith that seems to be somewhat attractive to millions of American young people.
It's a Gnosticism. It's a secret knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
If you apply, and get it, it's the formula. It is, if you do this, then this will happen. And it's a relying on our efforts rather than on God's word. And so this Gnosticism has crept in to the church. You know, if you just understood the secrets of the universe like I do, then you would have your health and your wealth. You would have your personal peace.
You know, Rob Bell from Mars Hill Church up in Grand Rapids, I had a friend from Grand Rapids down to visit me 2 days ago, and we're talking about Mars Hill Church. The only problem with Mars Hill Church is that little word church. They should just take that off, because Mars Hill was just another place in which people came together to hear and to tell some new things. They're just Greek humanists gathering together to talk about how they could reinvent a religion and create another god. And friends, that's Mars Hill today. That's Mars Hill. Rob Bell from Mars Hill Church just quoted as saying, "We're rediscovering Christianity as an Eastern religion, as a way of life." Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all, because that has been the mantra of what we have commonly labeled the New Age movement for years, that Jesus was from the age 12 to age 30, he went to India and became an accomplished Swami, and he came back and taught that. So it has been the bane of Western civilization that we have distorted what he taught, and we should return to his true teachings, which really were out of Eastern mysticism. So it's nothing new. I mean, it's nothing new at all. It doesn't surprise me.
Just attempting to bring the biblical principles to bear as we consider what is going on with these new products. And here's one of the things that we just need to be sure that people get down before we're done with this program, Bill. I'm sure there are some people saying, no. Remember, these are plants that God has created. They're for our use. Amen, amen. That's what we started with Romans 14. All of these things are pure. All of these things are good. God has created them for various uses. Of course, all things are lawful, not all things expedient or useful. We get that. But make no mistake about it, friends. It's okay to use God's herbs. It's okay to use God's plants. And God's plants are great to treat certain things, and they work for certain people. They don't work for other people. But be careful when people start stepping into religious language that doesn't comport with Scripture. You know, as if this will help you to forgive others. This will cleanse you from guilty feelings.
This will save you.
Yeah, it's Jesus' blood that saves us. It's Jesus' blood that cleanses us.
That's the real essential oil that we all need.
And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's the other oil that we need. We need to be not filled with wine or essential oils, but be filled with the Spirit of God first and foremost. Here's a random blog from the president of some random essential oils company. And let me just read this out to you, Bill, and I'd like you to play the game. What's the worldview here? I'm just going to read portions of this for you here from a random essential oils blog. Here it is. Surrender negativity and unconscious manipulation. The information this oil imparts to your body can be translated on a cellular level, resulting in behavior and physical activity changes, mood elevation, and energy changes. Become what you desire to be. Where is your power? Take back your power. Become what you desire to be. Start dancing, then decide what you want. For those of you who want to change your life, use oils and speak your desire. Now, what is that?
Blah, 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 me, 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 blah, 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 me, me, me,
all about me, all about you, all about me, all about you.
Me, 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 no, not you, me,
me,
no, me, me, me. I get what I want out of this life
if
I follow this formula. And, I mean, there's just a lot of gobbledygook language in there, but it is no different than the prosperity gospel. It is no different than Gnosticism. It is no different, really, than what is known as the occult. It is secret knowledge, and you can manipulate the forces of the universe, the forces of nature, and get what you want out of this life. It's going to communicate information at the cellular level. Give me a break. How does he know this stuff?
Well, I hear a blend of pop psychology, the zeitgeist, the me-centricness, which is what you found, positive thinking, a little Eastern religion, appealing to the autonomy of the mind of fallen man, and so forth. But friends, again, back to the principle, can you use God's plants without buying into all the hocus pocus? Now, of course you can. Of course you can. You can buy the plants and the shambles and not participate in the bad worldviews. And this is the food offered to idols passage we get from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Yes, you can buy the food offered to idols, but not buy into the bad ideology that comes on the websites. Absolutely. Absolutely. But friends, you've got to be ever so careful not to give way to the bad ideologies that are all over the place right now. There's this appearance of a better life that comes with the pop psychology and the humanist, me-centric, positive thinking ideologies that come out of these organizations. Take away the packaging, the pop psychology, the positive thinking, rah-rah religious talk. And Bill, I doubt if there would be quite as much business for these religious organizations. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's just plant oil.
That's all it is. And we need to really think about what we're looking to be. We are called in 2 Corinthians 2:15 that we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are the essential oil in our culture. We need to penetrate the culture like the finest penetrating oil in a machine. We need to be the aroma of Christ in the culture and not be so self-centered and selfish that we go, oh, this is for me. No, we need to lay down our lives. We are the aroma of Christ.
Friends,
that's the essential oil.
Friends, I think at this point, it's important for everybody to check their whole religious outlook. As you read this gobbledygook, as you begin to see how the rest of the world is thinking, and you compare that to Scripture, you find a radically different approach to life, to epistemology, to metaphysics, to ethics. You begin to see that the worldview under the zeitgeist the world is pumping into our minds through the websites and through other means is quite different than what the Word of God gives to us. And yet, it seems the natural mind of man always wants to work back into this man-centric, me-centric approach to life. And it comes back to the garden where we are tempted to be as gods, determining good and evil for ourselves. We need to be on our guard, and God calls us to renew our minds according to the Word of God, according to the will of God. Is this happening, or are we likely to be taken astray by every wind of doctrine and the cunning craftiness that seems to come back again and again? If you walk into this world and you're not seeing the cunning craftiness, if you're not seeing that there are demonic errors that creep in all over the place, and you don't see a difference between what the Word of God says and the cunning craftiness on the part of those who lay in wait to deceive us, then you're in trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. I would encourage you to come back to the Word of God. Submit yourself to the truths of God's Word. And friends, as you do so, you will find that your mind is increasingly renewed by the revelation of the will of God that is contained in the Word of God. That wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.